The word today is Trinity. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible Teacher Paul Schrader. God reveals Himself to us in the Bible. He is one God revealed in three separate persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is not three gods, only one God. Here to take us through the words Trinity and Triune is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Trinity.
Many people get excited about the fact that when they're discussing the Trinity, they say, well, the word Trinity doesn't even appear in the Bible. It's not even mentioned in the Bible, and the word Triune isn't mentioned. And of course, that's certainly true. Now, there's nothing alarming about that or nothing secretive about that. The facts are that when these teachings of the Triune God, the Triune, were put down in writing, very often, way back, they were written in Latin. And you count in Latin, 1, 2, 3, uno, duo, tre. And so that's how that name came about, uno, duo, tre. When you say tre, that means three. And when you're trying to make the statement that there's three in one, you go back to the uno, tre un, triune, and that's how the word triune developed from the Latin, meaning three in one. And the importance of that is to make it very clear that we do not worship three gods, we worship one God, who has presented Himself to us in three distinct persons. So there are not three gods, but three persons in the one Godhead. So that's how that name, Triune and Trinity, came about. Now, actually, it's not made up by the Christian church. Not even a Christian council made it up. The whole thing was to take the scriptures which God gave to His people and draw from the scriptures what God reveals about Himself. So the one true God is the Triune God who has revealed Himself to us in the Holy Scriptures. He said there is one God, not three. And so the whole idea of worshiping the three persons in that one Godhead is drawn from the Holy Scriptures. Probably the simplest illustration that we can use as far as our human minds are concerned would be to think of a triangle which has three sides. Each triangle has three sides, yet it's just one triangle, not three. And those three sides are independent of each other, so to speak. They are separate. They are different in the sense that they are not the same, in the sense that there's a Father, a Son, and the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, if you ever want to read a lengthy explanation of the Holy Trinity, it would be to read the Athanasian Creed, one of the three ecumenical creeds, which is accepted by Christians all over the world. Probably most Christians are aware of the Apostles' Creed, which is the teaching of the early Christian church, drawn from the teachings of the Apostles. That's why it's called the Apostles' Creed. That's around 350 A.D., roughly speaking. And at that same time, there was also another creed known as the Nicene Creed. And that Nicene Creed, once again, emphasizes the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the one that emphasizes that the most is the Athanasian Creed. And that's kind of a long name. It's named after St. Athanasius, who was the author of that creed. And that's why it's called the Athanasian Creed. It's a full page in a book. If you were to take a hymnal, for instance, it would fill the entire full page because it goes into specific details about the Holy Trinity. And I would suggest, if you haven't read that for a while, I would suggest it's a very good thought to take it and slowly and carefully read through it so that you can get a good grip on what the Christian church means when it talks about the Holy Trinity. And you have to be careful because there are some non-Christian groups, there are some cults that will use the word Trinity kind of in a sneaky way, trying to make believe that they're actually Christians. But actually, they define it in a totally different way. Let me give you a for instance. Let's say someone wanted to talk about the Trinity but didn't mean Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Maybe they meant peace, hope, and love or something like that. See, and they used to define it in a different, entirely different way, not talking about the one true God, the Holy Trinity. So I just want to give you a little bit of this background here so that you're aware of how important this subject is. If you're going to talk about the one true God, it better be the God who has revealed himself to us, and he did that by revealing himself as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit. Not three gods, but three persons in one Godhead. Now, talking about the work of the Father, and once again, you realize we can't talk about three things simultaneously, but the Holy Spirit and Christ were also present at creation, and the scriptures even refer to that and testify to that. But primarily, the work of the Father was the creation of the world. And we read about that in the opening chapters of Genesis in the Bible. But he does more than just bring things into being. He also takes care of them. And we like to think of that in the ongoing work of God the Father, that he provides and cares for and protects his creation. A beautiful, beautiful thought. Then you talk about God the Son. I believe most people are aware that Jesus Christ, God's Son, was always true God, never has been a time when he wasn't true God, but he took on, in addition to his Godhead, he took on human nature. We know that as the Christmas story. We know that as the prophecy in the Old Testament. The prophet said a Messiah was going to come, a promised one, and that promised one was Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, and that's why we celebrate Christmas, because true God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, took on human nature, mankind, and became both God and man. And so from the incarnation, when he took on flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, he has been God and man. In addition, the Holy Spirit and the Father are with him in the Godhead. Of course, that's always been true, always one God, never changing, always will be one God. No beginning, no end. He is God. Now, one of the things that Jesus does for us after he ascended back into heaven after his resurrection, he is at the right hand of his Father, and we are told he will come again. That's called Judgment Day when he returns physically. We will see him in his bodily form, probably his glorified body, I would assume, since he is risen from the dead, and that glorified body will return, and we will see him. Everyone will know it at the same time, by the way. If you have to run next door and say, do you think this is the end of the world? Do you think this is Jesus Christ? Then you know it's not. If you hear it's somewhere over in Japan or it's somewhere over in Korea or something like that, you know it's not true. Because when Jesus Christ returns on Judgment Day, every human being in the entire world will know it simultaneously. And the dead who have died prior to that will be raised from the dead, and they will also know it. We will all be gathered at his throne. And that is where he will separate the sheep and the goats. That's another way of saying the believers who have trusted in him and went to their death believing in Jesus Christ and now are with him, and on Judgment Day their souls will be raised, their bodies will be raised from the dead, and they will be taken into heaven with Jesus Christ. The unbelievers, their bodies will be raised from the dead, and they will be joined together in hell because their souls, their life eternal, will be with Satan in hell without end, torment, and all the evils. You know, it's just so hideous to realize how terrible that's going to be. And the unbelievers will be there, and their bodies will be raised and join them there. So we have the entire picture then of God, who is in charge of everything. God is our prophet, our priest, and our king. He is the prophet because when Jesus Christ came, he told us the will of his Father. That was his primary task, besides dying for us on the cross to give us the gift of forgiveness. He is our priest because he sacrifices himself. It's probably better to say high priest because he laid down his own life on the cross. And he is our king because he rules over all things. Sometimes people forget about that and they act as though God has lost control. God has not lost control. God is in charge of everything and he rules over all things. I would like to give you a couple little human illustrations of a way to think about the Trinity. Now, keep in mind, I'm not trying to explain it. You can't explain something that the human mind can't understand. We can't understand three persons in one Godhead, but that's the way God has described himself, and that's why we teach that and believe that. And the Holy Spirit has given us the faith to believe that, something that we can't even comprehend or understand humanly. But we can find some little examples of trinities, and I like to use that especially in teaching children. For instance, an egg is an excellent illustration. An egg is made up of three parts, basically, the shell, the outer shell of the egg. You have also the inside, which is two parts, the yolk, the yellow, which is in the dead center, so to speak, and the white, which is the rest of the egg. So you have three parts. You have the shell, you have the white, and you have the yolk. Now, if you were just beating up for a cake or something, what do you call that? The chiffon? I don't have the right name for that, but you're making the yolks or you're making the white into some sort of a part of the cake. You don't have three eggs there. You have three whites of three eggs. And you don't have a complete egg until you have the shell, the yolk, and the white. So in that sense, it's a trinity, if you follow what I'm trying to illustrate here. I also like the idea of time, past, present, and future. Now, even while I'm saying that, the past has already occurred, and when I say it presently now, in a second, it's in the future already. The past, present, and future, I like that. It's always a part of what time is. Well, I ask you to turn to the Lord, pray to him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can pray all three at once. It's one God. Or you can pray to each. You know God is one. He loves you. He has forgiven you. He saves you.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's The Word Today. .org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.